going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, we got a one-run game, his fifth of the year.
There you have it. Home run call of the day. Matt Chapman goes deep. Dave Fleming on the call. Excellent call. Excellent home run. San Francisco Giants only a half game out of the Padres, behind the Padres in the NL West. All right, things are getting spicy as we head toward May. Well, we just want to take a pause and reflect on the great art of catching. Catching is so interesting to me. It's so interesting. So I wanted to sit down with Connor Wong, currently on the injured list for the Red Sox, and he's a guy who obviously came over in the Mookie Betts trade, was known for that, but now he's established himself as a legitimate starting catcher in the major leagues for the Boston Red Sox. So sat down with Connor, talked a lot about the art of catching, where catching is going, where it has been, and also a little bit about his evolution and certainly since the Mookie trade. All right, it was a good conversation with Connor. Appreciate it. At BB isn't boring. At BB isn't boring. Go check it out. Here's Connor.
There's no human being on the planet I'd rather be talking to right now than Connor Wong.
Why is that?
Because you're interesting, because I find the art of catching interesting, because I like talking the great game of baseball, and this is an opportunity to do that, I think.
Let's do it.
Power rank, you can, the three things that has changed about catching since you began catching. Or maybe even the last couple of years.
Setups. In no particular order. Setups. Receiving the ball. And I mean, I feel like pitch calling is just always changing.
Pitch calling.
Game calling. Yeah, always changing.
Yeah. Did you see where, I think it was the Marlins, who all their coaches calling their pitches now?
The coaches are calling the pitches?
Yeah, all the pitches.
Interesting.
So that's not the norm, right? You guys?
No.
No. Is it usually the catcher calls the pitch and then the pitcher approves it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Usually they talk about it before. You talk about it beforehand, have a game plan for pretty much everyone, every guy in the opposing lineup, with the starter at least. And if you're able to talk to some relievers about it before the game, it's even better.
Okay. So
yeah, that's weird.
It is weird.
Yeah. Interesting. I wonder what the thought process is.
Well, what they said is that it's allowing the catchers to focus on offense more. But to me, to be perfectly honest with you, I think everyone wants control, right? I mean, I'm not saying I'm not even bringing up to say, this is stupid or smart, but it is the evolution when you have have something new, I guess.
Sure, sure. That's interesting because I've had that thought, or I've had that battle before where you're, you know, as a catcher, like you're thinking about, you know, sequences and what's best, and then, you know, you go to the plate and you want to be like reactionary and you're like, oh, how do you turn the brain off? Your brain's always going when you're behind the plate, but then you go to have your at bat and you want to, you know, just see the ball and hit the ball, and it's sometimes hard to turn off. So I can potentially understand that, but at the same time, like, that, you know, that's our job as catchers is to be able to do
both. Honestly, like, that answer, like, I was not expecting, like, because, and that's why I'm glad I'm talking to you, because, like, I don't know what your mind is doing when you get up to the plate. And I know for a regular position player, it's, you know, hey, they tell you don't take your offense out in the field and don't take your, you know, defense at the bat. But as a catcher, it's like times three, I would imagine.
Yeah, and sometimes for me, it's just like being able to turn my brain off and just see the ball. Like, sometimes I'm just up there thinking way too much, but it's kind of what you do behind the plate when you're calling a game is you think about a lot of things. And, you know, sometimes there is a lot to think about, so it can be hard to turn off at times.
When is it harder because there's a lot more? You know, like,
there's a lot of information for sure.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. It's like, not only it's, you know, we talk about setups, we talk about framing, we talk about pitch calling, we talk about scouting reports. You know, there's a lot of shit that you have to deal
with. And it's happening fast now too, right?
Right.
With the pitch clock, we have 15 seconds with no one on. Like, we got to be able to, you kind of have to know where you're going before, and then misfires can change things, and, you know, you just kind of have to go with it.
When the pitch clock started, was that for you? We all focus on the pitchers, but for you, was that like, holy crap, this is a lot in a short amount of time?
At times it could be, like, especially with guys you hadn't had a lot, and trying to learn them too and what they can and can't do, it could be. But I think for the guys you work really well with, it wasn't a problem.
No, we don't even think about it. Honestly, I mean, think about it. I don't really feel like when you guys, I know in spring training everyone was freaking. I remember Chris Martin, I don't know if you caught this game, the first spring training game, he walked two guys and we're like, oh my goodness, he walked two guys, and he's like, stupid pitch clock. You remember that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't know this about Chris until we had him in 23. He walked, what, six people all year.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess it was a really rare occurrence for him to walk people, and then I guess he walks too. So it, you know, makes a lot of sense that he had to go through that adjustment too.
But again, we all got used to it. I want to go back to number one in the power ranking, which I think was setups.
Setups have changed
and
a lot.
And we talked a little bit about this. My instincts were keen, otherwise known as I looked at somebody's tweet. But you had switched your setup this year. Can you take me through that a little bit?
Just what we worked on all off season was the left knee down setup.
And you were right, because you were right knee down last year.
I was right knee down. I'd done both in 22 and 23 at times. I did a little bit of left knee down last year, but mostly right knee down. I just felt better throwing out of it. I'm still learning how to throw from my left knee down. So it's been a process for me, for sure.
Well, what's the payoff? The framing?
Yes. Supposed to be the framing.
Okay, but it, I mean, analytics suggests that
right now we're not playing right now, but yeah. It was better when I was playing, and it was good. So just, I think some of it was, you know, getting the left leg out of the way because it's closer to my arm or my glove hand. Some of the angles I'm trying to create are a little bit easier with the left knee down, things like that.
When you first did the knee down thing, do you remember that first time you did it? Like that was introduced?
So I did a modified version when I was in the minor leagues with the Dodgers. Will Smith still does it, where he's like kind of in that traditional setup. And
that was way ahead of the curve,
he
right?
He uses his left knee as kind of like his like pre-pitch timing as the ball's coming in. And they had me try it, and it was kind of because I had this like big glove drop, and like then it took me a long time to get back up to the baseball. Guys are throwing a lot harder. So that was kind of like a modified version. But then when I got traded over here in 2020, I think that's when everything really started rolling in that direction. And I had a lot of time to do it in the alt site. And then kind of...
Did it feel weird?
It was weird a little bit, especially with runners on, for sure. Like, you're just not sure kind of what to do because you don't practice it. But, obviously the more you practice something, the better it's going to feel.
Well, so when the old man in yelling at clouds, when it came to this stuff, it was, oh, look at you. The catchers aren't blocking the balls like they used to, or it's going to be harder to unfold yourself to throw down to second. But it seems like almost everybody does. I don't even know who doesn't do it anymore, to be honest with you. I mean, you must look at catchers.
Jansen's one of the last guys. Jano, he was here last year. But I've seen some of the games, and he was doing it more. Even with guys on base last year, he wouldn't do it at all with anyone on base.
Yeah.
This year, he's done it with guys on base, at least from what I've seen. So definitely trending, but he's one of the last guys. I think even Austin Barnes over in L.A., he's dropping to a knee sometimes.
But so when people, so blocking balls, like mm-hmm. that's a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they almost tell me, because it seems like, the traditional, when you're in Little League, fold both knees on, block the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that anymore. Again, I want to be educated on this. So how do they tell you to block balls?
I don't have all the answers.
No.
The way you block balls is you don't let the guy advance a base.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the only rule.
Right.
If he advances, you lost. If he doesn't, you won.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that goes for everything, like even balls in the air.
But in terms of how you do it, if you're in, is it more picking? Is it if you're on one knee? Again, I don't.
I think it depends on the person. I think for me, I feel like I pick more balls than I chest up.
But that's what's comfortable for you.
That's what's worked best for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Like, right? And I feel like I control the ball better with my glove than I do with my chest. So
yeah.
It's easier for me to pick the ball than it is to get my chest on it and keep it somewhere close to where I can, make a play.
But I think that's why we've gone back to being comfortable mm-hmm. in that whether first it was whatever knee it was on, now it's the knee that you feel the most comfortable. I mean, there's a lot going on.
I think, and then the comfort's going to come from your work. Like, I work mostly from my left knee down. I've mixed in some right knee down, and it doesn't really feel that good anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How does that, when you do that, how does that conversation feel? Like, what, like they say, because I remember talking to Sebi Zavala about this in spring uh-huh. training, and he said that when he went to Seattle, they had him switched, because
mm-hmm.
they said this is going to be better, and it wasn't better, or at least it was when it wasn't better. So how is this like, hey, we think this is going to work better for you? When's that happen? Beginning of spring training?
No. They came down in the off season, old PowerPoint, everything, showed me
really?
A lot of things.
Oh, wow.
A lot of things. It's really good information. I feel like for me, being a visual learner, it just like opened my eyes. And it wasn't necessarily about the knee setup. It was just something, they wanted to do. So I trusted it. And
it worked.
It was good.
Yeah. And so how about framing? Like you talk about, so there's an emphasis on, I think, like, controlling obviously the bottom of the strike zone.
Yes, the bottom of the strike zone is really
and
important.
And so when a pitcher is delivering the ball,
mm-hmm.
again, going back to Little League,
mm-hmm.
you're like, here, hit the mitt,
mm-hmm.
right? Now it's you drop the glove, right?
Mm-hmm.
So again, try to explain this to me.
To an extent, it depends on the pitcher. I'm not dropping the glove with crochet.
Okay.
That's not really his game. His game's going to be, throwing his fastball at the top rail. So we're not going to go all the way to the ground with him. So there's exceptions, but for the most part, our sinker ball guys were, going to try and stay below the baseball and keep strikes.
So
I don't think it's really about, making balls strikes. It's mostly about making sure that we take care of the strike zone itself.
How do you, and so I know the emphasis on, again, like, is really controlling the bottom of the strike zone,
mm-hmm.
framing those pitches,
mm-hmm.
getting those calls.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? Like, how did you, emphasize that in spring training? How do you go about, it's one thing to say it, but it's like, okay, this is what we're going to work on over and over and over mm-hmm. again.
I think it's just, for me, I understand it as like, it's one movement from underneath the baseball upward. you know, if like we get flat to it, there's a chance that the momentum of the ball can, you know, take our glove down underneath the zone. And, you know, that gives a really bad look for the umpire to tell if it was a ball or a strike. And more times than not, he's going to think that's a ball.
Yeah.
So if we can, you know, work underneath the baseball in one move while we catch it, you know, looks like it was at some point in the strike zone.
Okay. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Did you like the ABS stuff?
I think I might have had one.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Game with it, maybe two. In the Twins, I thought it was really interesting. Kind of felt like the strike zone was really small.
Time we went up on the scoreboard, it was 0.5 inches off.
Yes, and I think that kind of shows you how good, like, the umpires are. Like, they're missing like, less than half an inch. So they're, you know, they're really good. That's why I don't really like to question a lot of the calls they make.
That's another thing to think about, though, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you have, like, oh, shit. You know, like, I got to tap my head on this one.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And I think there's, you know, there's probably some training you can do with as much technology as we have now, with like TrackMan and the bullpens and all that stuff. You could probably get really good at being an umpire as a catcher.
That's a good point. Speaking of technology, what's the thing that you like the best piece of technology that you like the best? Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's a baseball glove, but you know, like, there's so much, right? And this is the old conversation of, like, there's so much, like, which one is, how do you receive it, do you want to receive it,
like, for baseball?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, you could do like,
man.
Nintendo 20 whatever.
Yeah. That's hard. I think all technology has its place, right? It has to.
Well, it depends.
Or else we wouldn't use it.
It depends. I mean, it depends.
You know what I like it? I never had to do it this way, but like scouting reports I can do on a computer, and you know, I think before they're probably reading paper.
Oh yeah.
So I like being able to use a computer for
you can do it in front of your locker and at home or whatever it is. I mean, they used to, the scouts, I remember they had the advanced scouts, they would have two of them. One would go on the road, and one would be here, and then they would alternate back and forth so they could deliver the information.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, you know, maybe they still deliver the information, but you already have the information anytime mm-hmm. you want it, right?
Yes.
All right. So what has anyone has – I know that you have played other positions, mm-hmm. right? Was there a time in your career where definitively they said, we want you to play another position, and you said, I really, really like catching?
There has not been a time where they told me not to catch.
Okay. All right. But has anyone has like hinted, like even the Dodgers, like, hey, because obviously you're an athletic guy,
uh-huh.
and you can play other positions.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any like, hey, you can catch, but, you know, I think you'd be really, really good at blah, blah, blah.
No, I don't think anyone's actually ever told me I'd be really good at anything.
Really?
You know, I think it's kind of like, oh, you know, like, you're a good catcher, you're good, whatever. Like, you know, I don't think there's been a time where, like, oh, you're probably going to be better at this or that. I think I really enjoy catching because, you know, there's so much to it. And I, you know, I think that's the way my brain works, is I like activity. And for me, I think there's, you know, times out in the field where there's not a whole lot going on.
Yeah, you must get bored.
You could get bored, but catching, you're not going to get bored.
Also, another thing is, like, did anyone ever say, hey, listen, hitting, don't ever try to hit on home runs? Because if anyone did say that, I would say to them, I have the image of you hitting a 500-foot home run in Fort Myers. So I feel like somebody said this to you at one point.
Don't try to hit home runs is, it's kind of crazy. Like, yeah, sure, like, home runs are accidents, but they're also, like, on purpose at the same time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just want to be, like, a good hitter. Like,
but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Like, home runs are great. Doubles are great. I think, like, if you hit the ball hard a lot, like, your chances for home runs are way higher than if you don't hit the ball hard a lot. So I think for me, like, just try and hit the ball hard. And then wherever it goes,
No, I know, but that's what you do. But I'm saying, like, you know, because you're not a big guy, say, hey, like, you know, like, for instance, Benintendi. Like, Benintendi...
in 2019, and he'll tell you this, like, you know, is that, you know, he got bulked up, I got to hit home runs and everything else, and then he went to Kansas City, made the All-Star team because he was a doubles hitter. And I'm not saying, but my point is that I don't necessarily think you're a doubles hitter because I've seen you hit 800-foot home runs, you know? So I'm saying that sometimes the people, you know, say, oh, yeah. You know. So anyway, keep hitting home runs.
Okay.
That's
what
I'm just trying, you know.
I got your blessing. I'm good.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's whether it's because of your athleticism or size or whatever it is. So when's the first home run you ever hit in your life?
Yes, I remember this one. It was so... I maybe 11 is with the skinny barrel bats, but I sixth grade. It was sixth grade because I just played my first season of football, and I thought football made me so strong because it was the first time I hit a homer, and it was a big one too. I remember
In sixth grade.
My first one was in sixth grade.
In a game.
No, it wasn't a big field. It was like a normal sixth grade field.
Yeah.
It was right after my first season of football. I tackle football. So I thought it just made
like,
me so
were you
strong.
Like bench pressing during like
no, it was just like
just
you know, like
tough.
Tackle football, hitting people, and it's like something you never done before.
Yeah.
So, and then I hit my first homer. I was like, man, football made me so strong.
So sixth grade was your first home run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Rafael told me, he said he had hit, but when he was signed professionally, he hit one home run in his life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he signed really 16.
Yeah, but still, like one home run.
16, yeah.
I mean, I would imagine that home runs didn't stop after sixth grade there.
I mean, they were few and far between. Like, it took a lot for me to hit a homer.
Yeah.
I didn't hit a lot of home runs until my senior year of high school. I hit 11. That's not even a lot. But, like, in high school, we played, 35 games, I think. So 11 and 35 games, I hit some homers. And then in college, a few.
Yeah.
Not a ton.
Would you ever use a torpedo bat?
I look at my bat a lot and I'm like, dang, maybe a torpedo would be good for me because I kind of have those ball marks that are
same.
A little bit lower.
Yeah.
And, like, not towards the end. But I hit some balls off the end of the bat sometimes and those fall
you
in.
You don't want to give it a whirl?
No, I like Bregman's take on it. Like it's the user, not the whatever he said.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like it's the
not
guy.
The bat, it's the guy.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
the
yeah.
guy. You
yeah,
know? Just hit it on the sweet spot. Like,
when was the first time when you caught that you recognized? I don't even know if you look up and say, "Oh, that bat looks different."
I actually thought that of Raffy's bats for a while. His Carlos Beltran models. I thought they were like ever so slightly smaller at the end of the bat than the barrel, but it's just a really big bat.
Yeah.
I noticed a torpedo right before I got hurt, like an actual one.
In the season, regular
yes.
season,
mm-hmm.
somebody was using it
mm-hmm.
in Texas. I mean, it's not like it's legal.
I don't know who. Like, it is legal, right?
No, yeah, it's legal.
Yeah.
I'm
it's
saying,
like
if you'd say who it was. I mean,
no, I don't remember who it was. I remember seeing the bat, though, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
I want to say, why do I want to say it was Adolis? I don't know.
I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
I saw it, and I was like, man, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to obviously practice with it.
Yeah.
It just has to be a completely different feel.
And this is the last thing is, like, so you feel, I mean, you're getting better. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been in Boston for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you've made your own mark. It's a good thing. Like, do you feel like you when obviously when you first came over, it was like, oh, the guy in Mookie trade.
Mm-hmm.
But now you've made your own thing. Do you feel like, I don't know, secure? But do you feel like another?
No, I don't feel secure.
No, you don't?
No. I mean, no, I
but you know what I'm saying?
I really enjoy being here. You know, I think I don't know any other place I'd rather be. Like, this is, you know, one of the most electric ballparks in the league. Like, it's incredible. It's very unique. The fans here are great. The staff, like, it's like home for me now. You know, I'm disappointed we haven't been able to make the playoffs, so, like, I don't feel great about that. You know, I think winning's first and foremost, so, you know, that for me is a problem and something we're trying to change.
Well, I mean, I think I'm again here to build you up. I'm saying, like, you've come a long way. Like, this is
appreciate that.
When you're, you know, like, when you get here, is you're lumped in with two other guys, right? I mean, that's just how it is. And then you've established yourself as not only the guy who hits 800-foot home runs in spring training, but, you know, a guy who does a lot of things well.
Oh, appreciate that.
But anyway, including this podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.